¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11-19, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We're close enough to Christmas that we can start talking about Christmas presents and things like the Christmas annual. What did you grow up with when you got your Christmas annual? Was it the likes of the dandy or shoot or what was it? Or could it be that in recent years you have become your Christmas annual as Waterford Whispers News? And it is out again. And the creator and founder of Waterford Whispers News and for the 2025 edition joins us for the Culture Club, Colin Williamson. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
How many of these have you done now, these
this
annuals?
Number 12.
Jeez, that's a great business.
It is. Well, yeah, it is, yeah. Until you see the revenue. No, no, it's great. It's good. It helps me through the year, definitely, yeah.
And tell us, what brought it all about?
Unemployment, recession, living in rural Ireland and not being able to get work after the crash. I moved from Dublin thinking I'd get a job in Waterford, where I used to kind of grow up, so... When we moved down, literally Lehman Brothers crashed on the way and, I was unemployed and Facebook took off. And Facebook gave us, I suppose, the opportunity to create and put stuff out there. And it just took off after a number of years.
Is Facebook your main way of reaching people?
It is. It's one of our biggest followerships. We've 670,000 followers on Facebook, but Instagram at the moment is the beast. And it's phenomenal the last year or two.
How often do you feed the beast?
About 6-7 times a day. Weekdays, yeah, we do about 6-7 posts a day on the weekdays and maybe one or two on the weekends as well, yeah.
And do you get paid out of all that?
Well, the book and...
But the posting and stuff like that, does that make any money for you?
Lately on Facebook, yeah, they've reintroduced a revenue sharing kind of... thing. The metrics are strange. I don't know how it works.
So you do all the creative work and you get the eyeballs and they take more of the money, is it?
Oh, I'd say they take a lot of the money, yeah. Yeah. But that's the nature of the game. I can't complain. I mean, they made us who we are. I mean, we wouldn't be here without Facebook unless something else came along. But, at the start, the reach was quite high and then they cut down the reach. Like anything that's free, you know, they start reeling it back in a bit and... You know, yeah, but it seems to be picking up again, Facebook.
Well, I may have jumped ahead a little bit. For those who are not familiar with the humour of Waterford Whispers News, explain it.
It's a satirical news publication. I suppose if you remember the day-to-day...
Chris Morrissey, Andy Nucci, Steve Coogan. Brilliant. Genius stuff.
Absolutely love that. Brass Eye, of course, the more controversial one. The Onion, if you're familiar with that.
Yep.
That's made that's gone back to print actually in the last couple of months.
Has it? Because it went online only for a few years, didn't it?
It was taken over by a big conglomerate media group, and then someone came in and just said, right, someone with a bit of heart came in about a year ago and just kind of said, right, we're going to go back to print, and they're flying it. They've kind of stopped a lot of the sponsored corporate kind of stuff, and they're going back to basics, which is really interesting.
And would you have grown up with likes of Viz, the comic, that sort
of
stuff?
Yeah, I would have done, yeah, yeah, yeah. I still follow Viz on Facebook again. They have all the images of the funny adverts and stuff. And yeah, I would have been, like you said, annuals, Beano, not that it's satire. But yeah, I would have followed Viz, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's in the 2025 edition? What are you particularly satirising?
I suppose everything. It's the politics, lifestyle, sport. It's the best of the year. It's 60% of the book is the best of the best stories that we've did over the year. And then...
What would have been your favourites this year?
God, I suppose the elections, Trump, that kind of thing, you know, the politics. But I'm more like the kind of observational humour stuff like Local Man and that kind of thing. I love the funny parts of it, you know. Instead of getting involved all serious, I like a bit of crack as well, you know.
Let's get to your Culture Club choices. Yeah. First single, first bit of music that you can ever remember buying. What is it?
It would be Ill Communications, Beastie Boys. So Sabotage is a track on that. That's what kind of got me into.
How long
music.
Ago was that? And what?
90, I think it was the early 90s.
And what attracted you to the Beastie Boys?
I loved the video. Do you remember the video? It was all it was like a 70s. They're all dressed up like 70s detectives and they're sliding over bonnets and stuff. And it was just a manic. I grew up with MTV, you know, and it used to be on every time I used to come home. So it was just drilled into me. Yeah, love it. I love the Beastie Boys.
Let's hear a bit of Sabotage. Okay, is that a primer for everything that went on for you subsequently?
Yeah, it's just the manicness of this tune. It's incredible. I love it.
And that brings us into your favourite album, which is from much around the same era, isn't it? Nirvana Unplugged.
Yeah, yeah. And I still listen to this every month. It made me pick up guitar, Nirvana. And I was never really into Nirvana until he died. And everyone in school was, oh, Nirvana. And they used to be wearing the jumpers with the tongue coming out through the jumper and stuff over their uniform, getting in trouble. And it's just when he died then, and I seen this on MTV again, the whole thing, I was just like, wow, that's amazing. Such a good set, the whole thing, start to finish, everything in it, you know.
Okay, Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, let's hear from the Unplugged album, Come As You Are.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be, as a friend, as a friend. Yes, I know.
Nevermind, and that's from the Unplugged album Nirvana, Come As You Are. It still is brilliant, isn't it?
It's unreal, 30, that riff.
30 years plus on.
Yeah, that bass is amazing. It's just insane. Yeah. It's the first, actually, that was the first one that easy chords, you know, the two top strings, the G and whatever, playing that and getting that when you're like 16 going, oh yeah, I'm deadly, you know, I'm able to play guitar now.
Do you still play?
I do, yeah. Now and again, not enough.
Publicly?
No, God, no. Jeez, no. I wouldn't do it to him.
All right. Favourite band or artist? You've got a few here to offer us. First of all, Johnny Cash, you're a fan of.
Johnny Cash, yeah, absolutely. Love him. Love his voice. Very just deep meaning stuff. I love Hurt as well. We had the Nine Inch Nails cover. Done a great job on that.
And well, all that stuff around the time, the Rick Rubin stuff where he did the covers of like tracks by Depeche Mode and others were just terrific.
Yeah, brilliant to have that album as well. Yeah, actual physical album at home, yeah.
You also love Biggie.
Love Biggie, yeah. Controversial guy.
Tell us about Biggie.
I suppose I just love the story of, you know, how he started out. He was a small-time drug dealer, you know, he was a crack dealer. He made his way up from the streets, and it's just an interesting story. It's a great book. I can't remember the name of it. Notorious, it's called, I think. It was written by a Was it the Rolling Stones? Some guy from the Rolling Stones, but fantastic story. That kind of got me into it lately, actually. What is, you know, back at the time in the 90s, I wasn't really, but it's the last 10 years I kind of got into Biggie. Yeah, strangely enough. Yeah.
And then you have another act that I'm not familiar with, Nightmares on Wax.
Nightmares on Wax would be kind of a trip hop. I don't know if you, I'd also like Bonobo. Would you listen to Bonobo or Kruder and Dorfmeister?
You are bringing me places I have not been.
Ah, fantastic. It's just easy listening. I walk a lot and I just listen to that stuff the whole time. It's trip hop. It's just, there's no real lyrics as such. You're just kind of trip hopping along, you know.
Well, let's hear a bit of Nightmares on Wax and You Wish. Not what I expected. Kind sort of more like
easy listening. You'd hear
not
a lot.
Not quite elevator music. It's better than that.
I've been playing that in pubs for years, and that was kind of one of the first comments. Yeah, well, you turn off the elevator music. But I like it because you'll hear in a lot of kind of documentaries and stuff, and filmmakers kind of use the samples a lot, and it's just easy listening. If you're in a trance walking down the coast road in Tremor or something, you know, it's my kind of thing.
Okay, well, I'm actually just starting to download some of this. I might have a listen to that when I'm walking home this evening. So in that case, that's Nightmares and Wax. Okay, tell us about a best album, or not best album, best gig you're at and why.
Oh, best gig, yeah. I was never a fan of U2 until I went to see them in Croke Park and queued for 14 hours. So we were the first
ones. Hang on, why would you go and queue for 14 hours if you weren't a fan of them?
I was with a love interest at the time, and she was a big fan, so got her tickets and made do the whole thing, and we're right in the pit and stuff, and I was like, oh God, U2, great, and I loved it.
Really? Yeah. It was the Vertigo tour, was it?
Why
did you love it so much if you hadn't been a fan going
in? It was
in
just
there?
The whole, I suppose, the atmosphere, the crowd, everything. It was a great display. You know, they had a great screen up and just everything was really good. It was my first ever U2 gig. It was my only, actually. I never went back, but I just
that good that you never went back again.
That good. No, I don't want to ruin it. You know, I don't want to beat that one. But no, it was magical. Yeah.
And did it solidify the relationship?
No, absolutely not. It went the other way. No. Okay. She got her tickets and left.
Maybe that's why you never went to U2 again.
Maybe,
is it?
Yeah.
And the fact that you loved it as your favorite gig, has it stopped you from slagging off U2 and Waterford Whispers News?
Oh, absolutely not. No, we would hit them a lot. Yeah. Yeah, you have to.
Why so?
Actually, they're there. Why not? You know, everyone else does it.
A little bit of U2 from the Vertigo tour, not in Croke Park. This is actually from Milan in 2004.
So
And that was U2 from the Vertigo tour in Milan in 2004. We need to take a break. We will be back with more in the Culture Club with Colin Williamson, the man behind Waterford Whispers News. The new 2025 annual is out now. Back with more from him after this break. Welcome back to the Culture Club. We have Colin Williamson with us, who is from Waterford Whispers News. The 2025 album is out now. We've gone through all the music. So we asked for a favourite movie, actor, or director. You've gone for, as a movie, The Shining.
Because it used to terrify me when I was younger. I'd watch it a lot. Yeah, I've seen it a good few times now, and I love Stephen King.
We'll get to that when it gets to your books later, yes. But
I just love that. Great film. Just that scene where the woman's in the bath terrified me. So I think it's a bit of PTSD there as well.
But hold on, does it still terrify you each time you watch it?
Not now, no.
No, I was wondering. No. At least you gotten over that.
I got over
you?
That bitch, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But what age were you when you first saw it?
7 or something.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be 18's over, know, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I would have watched over 18 films before going to school. Like, I was nightmare. I just loved horror films and stuff. So, yeah, that's...
What did you love so much about horror films?
I don't know. It just woke me up in the morning, and a great way to start your day.
Right.
Now I read the news, so it's more or less the same thing.
Yeah. And then your favourite director, Hitchcock. And we have a clip from North by Northwest. Cary Grant as Roger Thornhill. Let's just hear this before we talk about Hitchcock.
Would somebody start the bidding at $750, please?
How do we know it's not a fake? It looks like a fake.
Well, one thing we know, you're no fake. You're a genuine idiot.
Thank you.
I wonder if I could respectfully ask the gentleman to get into the spirit of the proceedings here?
All right, I'll start it at 8.
800. Thank you. 900. 1,000 is bid. Go 12.
11.
11 is bid. Thank you. Go 12. I have 11. Go 12. We'll say 12. 11 once. We'll say 12. 11 twice. 12. Thank you. 12 is bid. I have 12. Go 13. We'll say 13.
$13.
You mean 1,300, sir?
No. I mean $13. That's more than it's worth.
I have 1,200. Go 13. Who'll say 13? Who'll say 1,250? 1,200 once. 1,200 twice. Last call, 1,200.
2,000.
2,000?
2,100.
I'm sorry, sir, but we can't...
Make it 2,500.
Ask him to leave.
Would the gentleman please cooperate?
The last bid was 1,200. 2,500. My money is as good as anybody's.
Cary Grant in Hitchcock's North by Northwest. Why do you pick Hitchcock?
I just love the way he can use silence to make you scared. Just the timing of everything, the way he edited stuff. Just it's such a hard technique. It looks simple to do the way he cut and edited and directed everything, but it's not, like, you know. I loved, was it Rear Window that where your man's out the back, he's looking out the back, and
but Jimmy just, Stewart was it?
Yeah, just the suspense of
he creates tension all the time.
Yeah, it's really hard to do, you know. And I don't think you see it too much, you know. It's really overdone lately in films with music, and they use. Use so much now to create what he did with very little, you know. Brilliant director, yeah.
And then you've picked Al Pacino as actor.
Yeah, yeah. I literally just watched and finished The Godfather again last week with my young fella Lucas. So, yeah.
Even Godfather 3?
Yeah, painful, wasn't it? Yeah. I got through it though, yeah. No, I didn't. That's a lie. I got through half of it. And we still have to watch the other half on Saturday. And we're dreading it because it was terrible.
Yeah, but there's lots of other great Pacino movies as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Scarface. Yeah, he's amazing. It's just such a natural. I suppose he's playing himself nearly in all the movies. Yeah, he has a certain style, but it's just so natural, you know.
Have you read his autobiography?
Not yet.
It's
no,
it's terrific. It's one of the best books that's come out in the last
really,
year.
I'll pick it up.
It really is worth it. It's fascinating stories about all the movies, and well, not in the sense of telling insider stories in the movies, but why he did things. He's fascinating.
I heard him on Conan O'Brien's show talking about the book. Yeah, I'll definitely look it up.
Okay. Now, when it comes to favourite play or theatre show, musical, you have gone for a book by Ken Kesey, which was adapted into a famous movie with Jack Nicholson, but actually had been a play before it became a movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was Kirk Douglas who picked up the rights and handed it over to Michael Douglas, who made a movie out of it. Yeah. But you've gone back for the Broadway revival, or got for the play of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Tell us why.
Well, my mum's an Amdram director. She put this play on twice and I loved it. I just loved watching the live version of it, you know. The Indian narrates the whole show. It's such a good, it's so well done on stage. If you ever get the chance to see it on stage, go. It's really cool.
Is it very different from the movie and the
book?
Not
too far removed, no. It's just, again, it's all from the POV of the Indian, you know. Yeah, great. And the characters, Jack Nicholson's character, you can't beat that, you know, just the madness of him. Yeah.
Well, we've a bit from the Broadway revival in 2001. Gary Sinise, I think that's how you pronounce it, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Hey, know something? I think you're getting bigger. Yeah, look at that foot, size of a flat car there. You keep growing that way, pretty soon they have to spring you. Yep, they'll be big Chief Bromden. He's cutting down the boulevards, men, women, and kids rocking back on their heels to peer up at him. Whoa! What giant is this here? He's taking 10 feet at a step and he's ducking for telephone wires. He comes stomping through town. He stops just long enough for virgins. The rest of you twitches don't even bother lining up.
What's so amusing?
I don't think you get the point.
We had a meeting, Randall. The staff agreed that it might be beneficial for you to receive shock therapy, but we won't. Provided you are prepared to admit your mistakes.
You got a paper I can sign?
A paper?
Yeah, and then you could throw in some other things, too, like how I'm part of a plot to overthrow the government and how I think life on your ward is just the sweetest thing this side of Hawaii.
Randall, we are trying to help you.
Do I get my pants slit? You gonna shave my head? Hey, I'll go first. Don't be scared, Chief. Chief, come on. They can't hurt me. They sure as hell can't hurt you.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, you've already mentioned your love of Stephen King when you mentioned The Shining. Hmm. Everyone thinks of the movies, I suppose, but all the movies are based on his books. Tell us a little bit about why you love the books.
Just again, very descriptive, easy to read. I started reading Stephen King when I was like 12, 13. The first book I read was Nightmares and Dreamscapes, which has four different short stories. And one of them was Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption. And the other one was called The Body. And two of those became movies. The Body was Stand By Me, if you remember that one.
Yeah.
And obviously Rita Hayworth, The Shawshank Redemption became... I remember reading it going, geez, that'd make a great movie. And then two years later it came out. I was like, oh, deadly.
Your idea was picked up.
Yeah,
by, yeah.
They heard me. Yeah, fantastic stuff. He's just a great author. Well, he...
Bit dystopian at times, though, isn't it?
Yeah, The Stand. I don't know if you read The Stand. It's quite a big book. I think they've done a TV, horrible job, TV movie kind of thing of it. And, yeah, it didn't do the book any justice, but...
I mean, The Running Man is out at the moment as a movie as well, based on one of his books.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. Right, okay.
It's out again. There's a remake with Glenn Pohl in it.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Is it out in the cinema now? Again?
Yes, it is.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Remake of the Schwarzenegger version of from 87, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, gotta go look at that, yeah.
Well, let's hear an extract from Nightmares and Dreamscapes by Stephen King.
When I was a kid, I believed everything I was told. Everything I read and every dispatch sent out by my own overheated imagination. This made for more than a few sleepless nights, but it also filled the world I lived in with colors and textures I would not have traded for a lifetime of restful nights. I knew even then, you see, that there were people in the world, too many of them actually, whose imaginative senses were either numb or completely deadened, and who lived in a mental state akin to color blindness. I always felt sorry for them, never dreaming, at least then, that many of these unimaginative types either pitied me or held me in contempt, not just because I suffered from any number of irrational fears, but because I was deeply and unreservedly credulous on almost every subject. There's a boy, some of them must have thought, I know my mother did, who will buy the Brooklyn Bridge not just once, but over and over again all his life. There was some truth to that then, I suppose, and if I'm to be honest, I suppose there's some truth to it now. My wife still delights in telling people that her husband cast his first presidential ballot at the tender age of 21 for Richard Nixon. Nixon said he had a plan to get us out of Vietnam, she says, usually with a gleeful gleam in her eye, and Steve believed him. That's right, Steve believed him. Nor is that all Steve has believed during the often eccentric course of his 45 years.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Stephen King, okay, from Nightmares and Dreamscapes. Favorite TV show? And you've gone for one. I've banged on a few times on this show over the years about loving the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
You've gone for It's Gary Shandling Show.
Yeah.
Was that the predecessor?
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was a sitcom. And it was all based in, you know, it was meant to be based in his sitting room. And I just loved his casual, like the studio audience there. But I would have stayed up religiously to watch this every Wednesday. I think it was on, RTE actually.
Was sure. It? Because Larry Sanders Show, Gary Shandling, of course, became the Larry Sanders character.
Yeah.
And that would have been on RTE in the late 90s into the early 2000s. But I actually don't ever remember the Gary Shandling Show turning up.
Had the team tune, it's the Gary Shandling Show. The Gary Shandling. You don't remember that now?
No, we have a clip from the very first episode, so maybe that'll give us a better indication.
Brilliant. So, did you ever call that cable girl?
No.
Did you call her?
No.
I mean, tell me you called her, huh?
Pete, I didn't call her
yet. Oh, are you crazy? Why don't you call her and go out and have a good time?
I will call her. I will. I don't even know where I would take her, frankly.
Well, on Saturday nights, Jackie and I like to go into the Hendersons to play Yahtzee while Grant listens to records with their son, Ross. So why don't you join us?
Oh, I don't think so.
It's better than anything you've come up with, right? God, my life is boring.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm sure under the right circumstances, Yahtzee is really a... All right, it's a little routine, but you got a great family life. You got a great kid. You got a wonderful wife.
Gary, my family does make me happy, but I have to admit, there are times I wish I was a happy swinging singles guy.
Hey, you know? There are times I wish I was a happy swinging singles guy.
So that's it.
Yeah,
how long did that run for before he turned it into the Larry Sanders Show?
I'd say it wasn't more than two seasons, maybe more actually.
And why did that appeal to you? You must have been only a teenager.
Yeah,
then,
I don't know. I just loved his style, even how he dressed. I remember copying. He used to wear these white runners, and he was just a very smiley, happy dude. And the dry humor, really kind of dry Jewish humor. I just loved it. You know, yeah. Big inspiration, yeah.
No other television to offer us, that's the one, is it?
Well, that's it, yeah.
All right. Buried Treasure, we asked for something that you think people should know more about. Mm-hmm. And you've given us a movie made by Shane Meadows called Dead Man's Shoes. Tell us about this, please, before we play a clip from it.
I love Shane Meadows, very raw kind of stuff. He's done This Is England. I think The Virtues is his as well, but this is one of my first kind of introduction to Shane Meadows. Dead Man's Shoes is about a guy who returns with a vengeance to a small town over I don't want to ruin the movie, but
he comes back from military service and has a run in with a local gang member.
Yeah, and it's so intense, like the whole thing. Again, there's just the simple way Shane Meadows builds suspense is incredible. In this
we have thing. A clip from this. Paddy Considine plays the main role, Richard, and Sonny is played by Gary Stretch.
Hey, man, how you doing? Rich? You OK? Yeah? You know the lads had this ridiculous idea?
Yeah, it was me.
Oh, it was? Thought so. What are you up to?
Mooching about.
Mooching about? In my house?
Oh. Do
you always paint men like women? What are you doing, lad?
That's my concern.
Not near in my house. Where are you staying?
Mossman's farm. Gonna come and see me, will you?
Maybe I will. You're not afraid of me, are you?
Don't just start all cheating. He's waiting up. He's waiting up. Shut up.
You're making me very nervous, Richard.
Well, you should be.
If I were you, I'd get in that car and I'd get out of here, man. I'd gather them goonies and get whatever you've got and come with me.
Hey, Shane Meadows' work there, and that's the movie Dead Man's Shoes. Just to finish, Colin Williamson, our Culture Club. Is it true Waterford Whispers News that one of the most successful stories you've ever published was one called Jesus Not Coming Back by the Looks of It at Mitz Vatican?
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we got loads of pastors in America reading out the story to their congregation.
Why?
Because they thought it was real, because I said at Mitz Vatican, and I was getting emails for, I still get emails, this is 2014, and I still get emails from people going, "Where? Who is this contact you have in the Vatican, and can you put us on to him?" Even journalists, like, I mean, I don't know why why that worked, but I still get correspondence. Right.
You had North Korea lands first ever man on the sun.
Yeah, that was our big one that went viral and everyone took it up. Remember the time in North Korea was all these mad stories were coming out?
Sure, I know I was there.
Oh, you were there. Oh, yeah, you were. Brilliant, yeah. Maybe you were there that time. When were you there?
2014.
Oh, God, yeah. That's exactly when it came out.
Yeah.
Right.
okay, right. You are the definition of fake news, aren't you?
I wouldn't say. It's satire.
Thank you very much for being with us for the Culture Club. Colin Williamson, Waterford Whispers News, the 2025 annual is out now.
The Last Word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.